good morning, Elevate City. Haven't I seen you before? It is awesome to be back here with you, and I promise we did not bring this weather with us. Because when we left yesterday morning, it was 72 degrees in Columbus. And then we get here last night, that's like, what? Father, we want spring in Jesus' name. Hey, I am so glad I brought a guest with me today. And I am so glad that my wife, Trisha, was able to make this trip today. Would you welcome Trisha and my daughter, Emily? Emily has come out to be one of my traveling partners. I'm hiring her as my personal assistant. Yeah. Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in the Message. If not, you can watch on the, look on the screens, and my notes are here. But we are in part 2 of Uphill Habits. How many was helped last Sunday? Amen. I'm glad I was able to help somebody. And I'm going to help us today because I'm going to mess with our mindsets. And so I know we had fun last week and stuck our feet out there a little bit and got stepped on a little bit, but helped and encouraged. We're going to do the same thing today because I want us to be challenged today, but yet also be encouraged. And our text comes from the Message Bible in Romans 12, 2. Fix your attention on God. And that's not always easy. We live in a fast-paced, infomercial society and culture, and everything's grabbing for your attention. And so Paul says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And that's been our text for the last two Sundays. Because in our opening statement was simply this, most of us have uphill hopes. Man, we got great plans, but sometimes we have downhill habits. Our habits don't always match our destiny or our desires or our future, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2 says it like this, wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. Little confession here. I've been wise and I've been stupid. Just ask my wife, right? We've all fit that category. But nothing limits an extraordinary, prosperous, peaceful, joyful life than small thinking. Small thinking will hinder that. Wrong thinking will hinder that. But nothing expands our possibilities. Nothing expands our dreams that we have and the desire that God has for us when we, if we unleash extraordinary thinking, change our mindset. So I'm going to talk to you about mastering your mindset. If you're going to change your habits, you've got to change your habits inside your brain. Your personal philosophy has got to change. If you have a mindset that the world owes you, if you have a mindset that everybody's after you. I had a guy in my church I pastored in Ohio years ago, and he was convinced that somebody was out to kill him. Just knew it. He said, I'd be going to Walmart, and I'd look, and there was somebody following me at Walmart. And he came in for a meeting. I mean, he was serious. He thought somebody was after him. Well, I mean, no, that was all in his head. It was all in his mind. We think of different things. Some people have stinking thinking. You ever talk to some people, and you're going, that don't make sense. Right? They don't think right. Mark Twain said, if that's us, take your mind out every now and then and dance on it because sometimes it gets all caked up. Our mindset, our thinking, there's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. And this is something we are to do. Ready for this? Not just once in a while. We are to do this every day because our mindset and our thinking gets jacked up. Listen, you and I, we can do this. We can change our hair color. Did anybody change their hair color this week? We can change our address. We can change our residence. We can change our clothes. How many of you changed like 3 times before you came to church this morning? Right? Come on, somebody. Looked in the mirror and you're like, no, man, I don't like that. You know, you change again. Not us guys, man. We just throw on and we go, all right? But listen, if you and I don't change our thinking, some of the experiences that we've had up till today will reoccur and keep happening over and over again. So if you want things to change in your life, if you want different outcomes in your life, you and I are going to have to begin to change how we think about life, how we think about certain things. If we want our financial situation to change, we have to change our mindset concerning finances. If you want your relationships to change, you're going to have to change your mindset or your thinking about relationships. Anything, any change that you and I want on the outside of our life first happens on the inside of our life. And we don't always think that way. We want something else to happen to us on the outside, and then we go, well, I'll change my thinking. No, if we change what's on the inside, then everything on the outside begins to change, which brings me to my first point. Number one, everything. Everyone shout everything. Everything begins with a thought. Like the first time I saw Trisha Klein, I was 15 years old, and my cousins were home visiting us, and they showed me a picture of this brown-eyed girl, Van Morrison, brown-eyed girl, you know, brunette, and I thought, oh my gosh, this gal. And so I was eight, then I turned 18, never got to meet her, and then the summer of 1987, anybody remember the summer of 1987? Don't you forget about me, right? I was in a church camp in Indianapolis, Indiana. And right straight ahead, I saw that same brunette, brown, big brown-eyed, gorgeous girl that I saw 3 years earlier on a picture, but I never met. And I went from not thinking about God. I was at a church camp, supposed to be thinking about God. No, I didn't think about God. I thought, I want to meet that girl. And she was walking towards me, and I said, all right, I'm kind of bold anyway, right? You heard me going to her boyfriend's house and knocking on the door, so you know So I went, and I said, you're Trisha Klein. And she goes, you're Robbie Yannock. I'm like, dang, yeah. And it was over. My thought life was, I had one thought. I want to marry that girl. I had just met her. And that was the only thing that consumed my mind. And you know, what happens in your mind happens in time. Because on July 4th, 1989, I took her. July 1st. What did I say? Stop. You're taking my time up here. Everything begins with a thought. All right? And that's all I could think about. And then I found after we went out to dinner that night at Dalt's. Anybody remember a Dalt's restaurant? They had the best French fries in America. She never called me again. I didn't talk to her. She didn't like me. Imagine that. What's wrong with people? You know? But I still had it in my, I had a thought. You know, my thought was her, all right? So all you single people, hang in there. There's hope. Tap your neighbor and say, there's hope for the singles. Come on. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That is, there's so much truth in this because thoughts are like these trains, and these thoughts take you someplace. They're like vehicles. They're moving in a dominant direction. So our life, my life, your life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And it's true. It's not about mind over matter. It's about Bible over everything. And this is what God's word says. Now think about Romans chapter 8, 5, and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. So that's been my problem. Right? If you're always thinking about sinful things, it's because you're sinful nature. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think. Everyone shout, think. So if you're controlled by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, it will change your thinking about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is what? Life and peace. And you and I know this to be true because we've thought wrong thoughts and so we did wrong things. But we thought right thoughts and we did right things. And wrong things brought destruction and havoc and pain, but right thoughts brought life and peace and harmony and love and joy. It's like somebody said, you're not what you think you are, but you think what you are. Henry Ford said it like this: if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you are right. Why? Because in our minds, which are a gift from God, you and I are made up of three things. We're a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in this body, okay? We are spirit in our way God created us, but our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and this body houses that. So what happens in our mind, the mind is the drawing room for our tomorrow, for our future. And basically, it's true. What we devise in our minds can happen or what? It does. Listen, Benjamin Disraeli said it like this: nurture your mind with good and great thoughts, for you will never go beyond what you think, higher than what you think. So everything begins with a thought. Everything, the job that you have. I think I'm going to try for that job. You thought about it. You prayed about it, right? But everything begins with thought. Number two, what we think determines how we feel. If we feel a certain way, it's because we thought a certain way. You know, nutritionists will tell you that there are three kinds of food. There's brain food, there's junk food, and then there's toxic food. How many of us eat the last two, right? It's the same thing with what we put in our thinking, in our mind. What we see and what we hear goes directly into our thought life, goes directly into our mind. The scripture tells us, well, this is how you're supposed to think. Well, how am I supposed to think then? How am I supposed to govern my thoughts? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, quit believing all the false stuff in the world. Okay? I had a guy argue with me about us walking on the moon. Said it was, no, it was a Hollywood film. He was convinced because he saw something on Twitter. And he watched a video on YouTube. Yeah, he was convinced that man didn't walk on the moon. And then I had somebody talk to me one time that they thought Jesus was an alien because they watched this hour-long video on YouTube that proved that Jesus was an alien. Hello, come on, somebody. We're not supposed to think like that. You know? So here's what he says. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable. Stop right there. Why is it that we're so prone to believe something negative about somebody, and then we get really critical when we hear something positive? I'll just let that sink in. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. Negative downhill thoughts and mindsets will never lead to uphill extraordinary habits. And then it will never give you an extraordinary life. It all begins in your mind. Like David said in Psalms 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you downcast? Why are you discouraged, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions? His thinking was downcast. And then he says this, why so disturbed within me? His thinking was disturbed. We've all been there before. But he shifts it and he says, put your hope in God. He says to himself, and I'm going to get my fourth point is going to prove to this, that what you say to yourself changes how you think and changes how you feel. And we're going to prove that today. Ephesians 4:22, throw off. Everyone say throw off. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on. Everyone shout put on. So you and I have to take off some old ways of thinking, but we've got to put on some new ways of thinking. And I'm going to tell you, they're both difficult to do, especially the way we think today has been a process of years and influence and family and culture and teaching and reading and listening throughout years that brought us to the point of how we think, okay? So it's not always easy to take off old thoughts, an old mindset, and master a new mindset. He goes on to say, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, how we combat and how we dominate our feelings, we have to go back to Scripture. We have to use Scripture to shape how we think. That must become our worldview. Not our religious upbringing, but Scripture. Scripture must dominate every aspect of our mindset and our philosophies and our thinking. Okay? So we have to go back to the Word. That's why we encourage you as pastors, please take time every day, read some Scripture. Memorize a verse of Scripture. Why? It's going to help you change your mindset. And if it helps you change your mindset, it will eventually change your life. How many remember prior to coming to Christ? And then coming to Christ, you still struggled with some mindsets and some philosophies and some thoughts. But over a period of time of reading the Scriptures, praying, hearing the Word of God, you no longer think like you used to think. Come on, somebody. How many can remember that? But it takes time. That's why you and I should never be critical of where people are at in their journey. Lighten up. Be gracious. Be kind. Because everybody's on this journey, but everybody's at different places on the journey. It's like the little girl who found a book in her home and asked her mom. It was on the coffee table. And she says, Mom, what book is this? And the mom replied, oh, this is God's book. This is the Bible. She said, oh, the little girl said, oh, we better send it back to him since we don't ever use it. Conviction is falling in the house right now. Hallelujah, right? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. It's living and active. It's living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates, the Bible says, even to the dividing of our thinking, our soul and spirit, our mindsets, okay? And marrow, it judges the, what? Thoughts. The word of God judges my thoughts and your thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Can I tell you then, if that's true, and I believe it to be true, then God's word can dominate and override any kind of feelings we have. Listen, have you ever felt depressed, discouraged, in despair, just overwhelmed? How about angry? All these kind of natural feelings that come to us almost on a daily basis. We need Scripture. We need God's word to dominate those feelings, because we don't want to live by those feelings. We don't want those feelings to dominate us. We don't want to walk around discouraged and depressed and overwhelmed with life. We want to walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings. And so we need the Word of God. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace. Ready for this? Those whose minds, everyone say my mind. You mean I can access the peace of God through my mind? Well, that's what the Bible says. How do I do that? Quit thinking thoughts that violate peace. And some of us are so good at that. Some of us are the greatest worriers in the world. We think the more we worry, it's going to fix the problem. How's that worked out for you? Hasn't changed anything, has it? No, it hasn't. Okay? The worrying thing, the stress thing attacks your physical body. It really does. So if we're going to have peace in our life, our mind, Isaiah said our minds are steadfast because they trust in you. We're going to have a spirit of faith, and we're going to have to trust in God. And we're going to have to say, God, man, I'm overwhelmed today. I'm worried today. I'm not at peace, but God, I'm going to put my mind on you. I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on these outside influences. I'm not going to let the words of other people dominate how I feel. Come on, you know it. You'll get to work tomorrow morning, and some nitwit coworker will say the wrong thing to you, and it'll ruin your entire day. Hello, somebody. Right? All because they said something that you allowed to go into your thinking. Man, sometimes we've got to let stupid things that people say and do go in one ear and out the other. Don't let somebody else steal your peace. Don't let somebody else steal your joy. Just because they're miserable. Keep your mind straight. That's why it's so important to start your mornings out with God. And I'm telling you, it'll change your entire day because he's with you. And your thinking is right for that day. You got to keep going, okay? So feeding yourself daily with God's word is so important. It won't just increase your knowledge. It'll transform your life. That's how powerful Scripture is. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but everyone who hears these words of mine, everyone, he says, does them will be like a wise man. So if you hear the word and do the word, you're wise. Because the flood and the storms are going to come, Matthew said. But everyone who hears this word of mine and doesn't do what the word says is like sinking sand. A house built on the sand. Our lives are built on the rock, on God, when we hear the word and do the word. That's why we could all hear the same message and somebody gets it and then somebody forgets it. Okay? If we don't forget it and we do what it says, guess what happens? Our house is built on a rock. So when the storms of life come, we're solid. But if we don't do what the word says, then we fall. The secret to uphill success is simply this. It's always hidden in your daily routine. It's hidden in your daily habits. You get into the word. You pray. You think right thoughts. You speak the word. You speak the word of God. Let your ears hear what you're reading. Read the word out loud. Don't just read it in silence. Read it out loud. Why? So that your ears can hear what God's word is saying. Because the moment it goes into your heart, it also goes into your mind. The moment it goes into your mind, it goes into your spirit. And what goes into your mind and goes into your spirit comes out in your life. It needs to be a lifelong habit. So I want to encourage you to make the word of God, make Scripture a part of your life. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. How many know your mind is important just as much as your spirit is? And it seems like religion and Christianity for years have focused so much on the spiritual aspects of life. And we've kind of tended the intellectual part, the mind, the will, the thinking off to the side, and we kind of downplayed it. Can I tell you that your soul is just as important as your spirit? Because when you die and leave this earth, your spirit and your soul goes back to God. Okay? All right, number three, our thoughts determine our destiny. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Our thoughts determine what happens in this life. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, whatever you and I think about, we bring about. Whatever we think about, we bring about. And my future and your future does not respond to anyone else's thoughts or voice but our own. We have got to quit being dominated by the negative influences of our culture and our society. And even some of the negative stuff that moves around in Christianity. And there are negative things that have false thinkings and false ideas that went around in Christianity. And we got to combat those. Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things pleased by the Spirit. You and I, if we think spiritual, if we think positive, if we think right, if we think scripturally, our life will move in those dominant directions. Proverbs 4:23 says it like this, and Solomon hit the nail on the head. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And that's not even a proverb. That's a proverb. Your thoughts control and dominate, run your life. You know, God gave us this mind. It's a gift. It functions two ways. Your mind has been given a memory. Okay? A memory replays things of the past. Good, great, bad, and sometimes even horrible. It's a part of our mind. It's our makeup in our mind. We have a memory. But we've kind of forgot about the other part of our mind. We have an imagination. My imagination, your imagination. That's why I love going to Disney. Nothing is impossible at Disney. I mean, they make things come to life. It's, you know, and Walt Disney talked about our imaginations. But why is it the church had used to be the most uncreative organization and movement in the world? Why is it that secular society had all the creativity? And over the past few years, the church has stepped up. The church has stepped up when it came to music and videos and movies and the arts, you know? Because we have been given, a part of our mind is an imagination. And your imagination, you ready for this? It pre-plays your future. You get an image, you get a picture in your mind that God has given you the ability to do that can give you a picture of what you want. That's like in the Old Testament. The people of God had this idea, had this picture. If we build this tower up to heavens, up to the heavens, up to God, we can be like God. And God had to come down and confuse them and change their languages because he said, they could do what they put their minds to do. God said they could have built a tower to the heavens. And so he had to confuse it. So that tells me what I see in my mind, an image of what I desire, what I want, what I think, what I want to see happen in my life, can happen. Okay? Nothing can be impossible to us. Our thoughts become words. Our words become pictures. They become images that we see in our mind. Okay, if I say something like this right now, last night, I know what it looks like because I ate it, but I had a blackberry cobbler where'd we eat at last night? Cracker Barrel. I remembered so I said a word. What did you just see? You just saw a blackberry. If I said a piece of strawberry cheesecake, how about a pepperoni pizza? Okay, you're seeing this. How about blue waters on a white sandy beach, 85 degrees and not a cloud in the sky? Oh, come on, somebody. You see it. Usher, shut the door. Don't let them out. Your imagination can be used for evil. You can imagine evil things, but you can also use it for good, for God, for your family, for your future. It's a gift from God. We think in pictures. That's why media is so powerful. That's why advertising is so powerful. It is, because we think in pictures. Einstein said it like this, and I'm getting ready to close. Logic will take you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere. Okay? If you're going to have uphill habits, you have to change the way you think. If you're going to change the way you think, you're going to have to change the way that you imagine things. Okay? I bought my kids vision boards. And I said, I want you to put on your vision board your goals, your heart, your passions, your desires. I bought them all for them. Big bulletin boards. You know, I said, rip out pictures from magazines. You know, my son Evan had NBA on his. And then he had a great looking cool car because he said if he doesn't make it in the NBA, he wants to be a mechanic. Right? You know, but Emily had a, and on hers, right smack in the middle, real big, is keep calm and heal diabetes. And every day in my office is my dream board, is my vision board, is my imagination board. I see things that I want. I see things that I desire. I see places that I want to go. And I see goals that I have because I can see it, all right? I can see it. God gave us this thing called the mind, and it is extraordinary because he puts things in there to take you where you need to go. God paints the pictures of our success, our life, our peace, and our joy on the canvases of our minds. And don't be afraid to imagine things for good. Don't be afraid because, listen, it can happen. I remember my wife and I on our honeymoon. I said, where do you want to go 10 years from now? And she said, how about Paris? I'm like, oh, Paris would be good. So I have 10 years to figure out how in the world am I going to get this gorgeous bride of mine to Paris. And then 10 years later, I got an invitation to speak in Paris and in London. And on our anniversary, we found ourselves climbing the Eiffel Tower, making out. Come on, somebody. I imagined that for a long time. It happened. It happened. We had a picture of Paris. We had a picture of London. You know, we thought, oh, it'd be great to go to Europe. Let's do that. We did it. It doesn't always work out in our timing, folks, okay? But, man, faith needs to be persistent. The best time to start improving your tomorrow is to start right now, today. Change your negative thinking. Change your condemning thinking. Change that mindset and turn your life around. The number four, my last point. That means they can come up and I'm acting like I'm closing. You will never change the way you think until you change the way you talk. Would you quit talking the way you talk? Would you quit saying the stuff that you say? It's not helping you. It's not changing your feelings. And it sure is not changing your life. Change the life you have by changing the words that you and I speak. Because small changes in our vocabulary makes a big difference in our life. And I'm going to show you. Look at Proverbs 18:21. And this is the Bible. This is what's awesome. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the words that we speak. Think about it. Words create power. Look what God did. God had this idea for an earth, for life, for man, for woman, for animals, for mountains, for oceans. But nothing happened until in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, God had it in his mind to have all this, but nothing happened until he said, let there be light. And guess what happened? Light happened. The power of God's word. You say, well, Rob, I disagree with you. I don't think words make a difference. Well, there is a big difference between lightning and the lightning bug. Stop saying things that you want to happen, or start saying things that you want to happen in your life, and stop saying the things that you don't want to happen. Luke chapter 6, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart and his mind. The evil man does the same thing. If you can control your words, your language, listen to me, you can literally protect your life. Proverbs 13, wise words will win you a good meal, but treacherous people have an appetite for violence. Those who control their tongue, those who control their words. Man, I used to get in trouble because I would say the wrong thing. I still get in trouble for sometimes saying the wrong thing. And once it comes out of your mouth, there ain't no taking that thing back. You have never seen a fish on the wall with its mouth closed. For all my fishermen buddies in this place. No, that fish got hooked because it opened up its mouth. How many of us get hooked because we say the wrong things? Okay? Listen, those who control their tongue will have long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Jesus said in Matthew, you have minds like a snake pit. So I want to encourage you, our words must be pleasing to God. And remember this, we decide if we want lips of life or if we want tongues of trouble. If you and I ever really realized how powerful our mind was and how powerful our mouths were, we'll never, ever give space to wrong thinking, negative thinking, stupid talking. We never would do that again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, David said, be acceptable in your sight. I pray this every day. Lord, let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable. Every time I preach, every time I get in a pulpit, Cody, God, let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, oh God. One of the greatest things you can confess today is if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you will be said. I've come to tell you and end this message today with two things. One, God loves you. Whether you understand it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you think it or not, He loves you. He didn't come to condemn you for whatever you did this week. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to love you. He's come to change your life. And number two, whatever you've done this week, whatever has happened in from Sunday to today, listen, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and not counting people's sins against them. He's no longer counting your sins against them, against you. No more. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions. And I want to encourage you today to make that confession of faith that I believe that. I believe that God loves me so much. I believe that He has forgiven me of my sins, and I accept that into my life. I want to pray for you right now. Would you bow your head? Every person bow your head. And if you're here today and you say, Rob, okay, I get it. I believe God loves me. I believe He's forgiven me of my sins. And I receive that. I'm going to make Him my Lord. I'm going to make a fresh start. If that's you today, would you just really quickly, between me and you and God, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to receive that for what He's done in my life. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give You thanks today. And Lord, we confess with our mouth, we believe in our hearts, we believe in our minds, we believe in our spirits that You raised Christ from the dead, that You will dwell in us, You will live in us, and You will lead us and guide us, God. We accept this and we believe this, God, and we thank You for forgiving us of our sins, and we thank You that today is a new day for us, and we are new people in Jesus' name, and everyone shout amen. Can we put our hands together for the Lord for those who did that today?